Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Guys, we are partying in the studio right now.
A lot of people in the studio.
This is awesome.
We bring a posse.
Hour number two of your Ben Jarofsky show for Thursday, January 23rd is just moments away. But before we get into that, we need to thank the following unions for jumping on board and sponsoring this program. Unions like the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 9, the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace, Not Aerosmith Workers, Local 126 and District 8, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150 sponsored this program, as well as the Chicago Federation of Labor. Hour number two, featuring Marie Newman, starts now. It is Thursday, January 23rd, and live from the Chicago Sun-Times Chicago Reader Studio on Racine Avenue, this is the Ben Jarofsky Show. In this hour of the program, yes, it's true, it's the Democratic 3rd Congressional District candidate herself, Marie, the real Democrat Newman. And now your host, also a real Democrat, Chicago Reader columnist, Benny J. Ben Jarofsky.
I've been voting Democrat my whole life. It's true. Yep. Boy, do I moan about it half the time.
That's true, too.
And I moan and groan about it, but I vote Democrat. We were supposed to keep Marie Newman's presence in the studio a secret, but we're still going to pretend like she's a mystery guest, and I'm going to ask Lenny from Indivisible to introduce her. But before we do, yeah, any updates before I kick it over?
I just encourage everybody to follow us on social media at Benny J Show, BENNY, the letter J Show on both Facebook and Twitter. The Ben Jarofsky Show on Instagram. By the way, Ben, how's that Instagram account going?
Oh, my God, it's booming.
Really?
No. I forgot.
He's in charge of the Instagram account, guys.
You know what? We had a reader. Lenny is in the studio with me, is an associate of mine, a co-worker, colleague at the Reader. We had a reader retreat. I think the last, Lenny, image I posted on Instagram was a picture of the Reader retreat. So I got to get going on that Instagram thing. You know what I'm saying, Lenny?
That was such an amazing day. I love that day. I love that all of us got together in one room, especially those that have been there for decades.
I know, man.
Ben Jarofsky.
Yeah, the old guy in the room. And you know, I got all the Reader, my beloved Reader. I've been working at the Reader on full-time basis since 1990. I've been writing for the Reader since the 80s, and you know, the Reader's been on the ropes so many times, Lenny. It looked like it was down, and it comes back, and it's like Rocky Balboa always comes back. And you know, I got all choked up there because we're giving it a good fight coming into the next year. And so, like, this was a new idea. First time ever I've ever read a retreat. Well, no, it's not the first time ever. We did something like in the 90s. Good God. Anyway, everybody got together at the end with that little circle. Remember the circle? Mm-hmm. And I started getting all choked up.
Aww,
I'm just a
man.
Little softy, I know. all right.
That's really nice, Ben.
Yeah, it was nice. All right, Lenny from Indivisible. You have a whole bunch of guests with you, and they got a whole bunch of buttons. So before we bring on the main attraction, why don't you talk about some of the buttons you got here, some of the guests you got here.
Yeah.
Talk about Indivisible
a little bit. So I'm here with my friends from Indivisible IL9. I'm here with Kelly Baffey, who's also with Resistance Buttons, and she's going to talk about that for a second. And also, I'm here with Karen Goldman, who's here from persistless.org, who actually has something in the Reader, and I would love to pass the mic to them.
All right. Hi, I'm Kelly. And as Lenny mentioned, I'm from Resistance Buttons. I run the Resistance Button Club. So that is a subscription service where for $5 a month, you can get a button in your mailbox delivered to your home address or wherever, and dealing with current issues and topics that are going on. So this month was actually said war. Good for absolutely nothing, because obviously we started the month with that and now we're on to some other fresh topics. So, but you know, we can look back at Lordy, I hope there are tapes, and still laugh about that button. All of the previous club buttons are also available for purchase on my site, resistancebuttons.com. And you can join the club there. You can also get 3 for $10. So you can have your button and have 2 to give away.
And it was just a really cool button. I've got 2020. I like this button with the little shades.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's and it's got the White House in there and
Congress
in the shades.
Congress.
So there you go.
All right.
And hi, I'm Karen Goldman with a website called persistlist.org. It's a site to list and view political actions in the Chicago area, as well as there is an advertisement in the Reader every week, which lists and highlights some events, and the full list of events is on persistlist.org. I really want to encourage those to become politically active, and there is an event almost every day. We have hundreds. I've had thousands and thousands of views. I'm up to 1,000 views today already. So please go on. And if you're an organization that has an event, I am more than happy to promote it.
What are just from that list, some of the events we should know about?
Oh, well, Indivisible Chicago has the True Blue Review is on February 3rd. I think Marge was here to talk about the event.
Our correction was here yesterday.
That's great. It's February 3rd, the True Blue Review. You go to indivisiblechicago.com for all the details. They're kicking off their three states, one initiative, one mission plan. So if you feel like you live in Illinois and it's all blue and you can't do anything here, Wisconsin and Michigan need us badly.
That's
so
correct.
It's a real great way to get hooked up with people who are doing that work. So if you're out there thinking, what can I do? There it is.
February 3rd.
So that's at the Athenaeum. And that's Monday? Is that Monday?
No.
At 5:30.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, we'll probably be talking about more about that as the week goes on next week. Is it already next? No. No. It's a week. I haven't lost a week.
Okay,
have I?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I haven't. I'm like, oh my God, did I lose a week already? All right, Lenny, why don't you introduce our guest of honor who's sitting next to you?
Yeah, so I'm with Indivisible, and our local group is Indivisible IL9. We're part of a national grassroots network. So Indivisible locally, as well as Indivisible National, has endorsed in the primary, in the Illinois primary, and we're happy that it's going to be a real Democrat in the 3rd District. And I'm happy that you're here today. She was just here with us at our event last Monday at Black Ensemble Theater, where we had a whole audience full of people wondering what to do, or maybe they are already active, but it was great for Marie Newman to be there and to actually implore them to do something. Think of 20 things that you could do this year in 2020 to win. So I'm very happy to have Marie Newman here on the show.
All right, very good. Marie Newman, welcome back.
Thank you, and I'm so happy to be here.
You're spending a lot of time in this particular building. We, of course, are housed in a little studio in the back of the Chicago Sun-Times headquarters in the West Loop. And today's Bright One, my beloved Bright One, home delivered as always, has a picture of Marie Newman at the endorsement session of the Sun-Times editorial board. And you're looking in this photo at your opponent, incumbent Congressman Dan Lipinski. I would guess this look on your face is one of utter disbelief at what he's saying. Is that sort of what you're trying to convey in that look?
More actually confusion. Yeah, I was very confused by what he was saying.
All right, well, we'll get to what he was saying, what got you confused. But bad blood still boils. Is the headline of the story. We talked about it actually earlier in the show as well. And the central thesis of the story is that this is a personality dispute of sorts, bad blood, a lot of lingering resentment left over for things said from the last campaign, which was in 2018, when you came very close to defeating Lipinski in the primary. Talk about this issue of bad blood in the primary.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it's a distraction. I really do. That Dan would rather be talking about personalities and fights when we have a lot of work to do in Illinois 3. There are a lot of issues. Income inequality is an issue in Illinois as it is in the nation. Healthcare is a huge issue. I've done 280 meet and greets, and in every one of them, someone has told me a story about bankruptcy related to not being able to afford health care. Having been someone that went paycheck to paycheck for many years and did without health care, that resonates with me. So for me, there are a lot of issues we need to be talking about. And Dan bringing up all of this bad blood, that's on him. That's not me.
Now, how did that emerge in this campaign? I'm going to get to the issues.
Yeah.
But the opening line of the article talked about something you said on election night 2018, where you said, "I hope Lipinski's having a, quote, very painful evening." This is when you were waiting for the returns to come in 2018, very close election.
Yeah.
And it was one of, I think, the first time in Dan Lipinski's career where we either had an opponent or it wasn't an overwhelming landslide, or the election was over like 3 minutes after the polls closed.
Yeah.
What were you getting at when you said, "I hope he has a very painful evening"?
This is all I'll say about it. I wanted him to reflect upon how he treated my kids, my husband, and my family, and that is all I wanted. It was not meant to be anything more than that, and that's really all I'm going to say about that.
Well, talk about how he treated your family in that election. I remember the last time we were on my show, I told you, beware. It's tough politics down on the on the southwest side of Chicago.
You know what? I'm not going to go into it because this will feed into Dan's narrative of that it is a personality contest and it's this tit for tat. I don't have time for that, I'll be honest with you, Ben. I'm happy to talk about the issues always, because, or any one person's problem, whether it is the whole district's problem, one person's problem, but I am running to help people in Illinois 3. I'm not running to talk about Dan's vendetta against me. That's just not, I'm not interested.
All right, well then let's get to what distinguishes you from Dan Lipinski. Let's start with healthcare.
Sure, yeah, and I think that that's super clear, right? Dan voted against the Affordable Care Act in 2010, and then just recently voted for a Republican bill that would take Obamacare away from folks on employer-based healthcare, and to the tune of about 1 million people that work under 40 hours a week. And he can put, you know, a silk purse on a sow's ear all he wants, but that's really what it is. And I think that's where my confused face came from when he started to talk about that that was okay to do that. I couldn't understand how you could be okay with that. But in any event, healthcare, I support the Medicare for All model wholeheartedly because my district does. I am highly aligned with my district. It is very clear that the district wants Medicare for All. And Dan's healthcare proposals are extremely different than mine. I do believe we have to prop up Obamacare till we move over and migrate over to something in a very methodical fashion. I'm a former management consultant, so I like to think about Medicare for All as a program that is tried and true, right? It's been around for 55 years and it's done well. Not perfect, because nothing is, but take that, make it better, add vision, dental, hearing, long-term care, make it available to everybody. And the first thing we need to do is get pharmaceutical prices down. So if we migrate over to that type of program, I think that's a very practical solution. Trying to just have Obamacare in place, which I think is what Dan is trying to say. It was very hard to understand what he was trying to articulate, but I think that's what he wants, is will be incredibly expensive, very hard on the middle class, and ultimately it's been torn apart so much, I believe it's going to be really hard to keep it long term. So I think the long term solution is Medicare for All.
Well, I'll go one step further. Right now, Obamacare itself, which is a bit of a compromise on Medicare for All, is under siege. I can't point this out enough, Marie Newman. There's a lawsuit in Texas that's making its way through the courts. A judge in Texas has already ruled against Obamacare, if you will, calling it unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. And that particular lawsuit is supported by Donald Trump's administration. The Justice Department is on the side of Donald Trump in that lawsuit. If they get their way, Obamacare, which is the compromise to Medicare for All will be eradicated. So it's like it is an existential moment in terms of healthcare in this country. Yeah,
all of it could go away. And that's really my concern is that, and look, again, I've been looking at everything from hospital programs, pharmaceuticals. I've worked for hospitals, and I've worked for pharmaceutical companies, and I've worked for insurance companies, and I've worked on very thorny operational problems, qualitatively and quantitatively. Honestly, the only option we have is Medicare for All at this point. Do we have to do it in a very methodical fashion so that people understand what it is, how to access it, and work with it? It'll be significantly easier for the average consumer to work with it. So for me, this is very logical, and I don't understand the resistance, I will tell you.
All right. What are some of the other issues that distinguish you from incumbent Dan Lipinski?
Yeah,
inequality to get there. You mentioned that.
Yeah, income inequality is a huge issue. So in our district, we have a higher than average underemployment rate. And for those that don't understand what underemployment is, it's when you're working two or more jobs to try to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. That's a significant problem in my district. So effectively, lots of people have one job to pay one set of bills and then another job to pay for the child care while you're at that job, and then you end up, you know, working yourself to death, and you never see your kids, right? It's the epitome of insanity. So that's a problem right in the district, but also nationwide. I hear that too. I mean, I certainly talk to a lot of members of Congress, and they hear the same thing across all their districts. So the fact that the average hourly wage hasn't gone up from $23 or $24 an hour in 20 years is ridiculous. I actually think that we should have a new economic indicator, because as I say frequently in my meet and greets, is that the stock market is not the economy, and the economy is not the stock market. That's one indicator of several. Unemployment is one indicator. Underemployment is one indicator. What we really need to start looking at, because it's been such a gross injustice over the years, is income inequality. The difference between the highest earners and the middle earners and the lowest earners, and have metrics around that so that we can understand how to better close those gaps. And then my proposals around raising wages, making a livable wage a federal law, and certainly empowering unions. I have a whole white paper on empowering unions on my website. And then making transportation more accessible. People, wage earners, get to their jobs by public transportation. And right in Illinois 3, we have tons of transportation deserts. These are very solvable problems. These are not pie-in-the-sky things. These are things we can do. And then, you know, on the economic side, paid leave would solve a lot of economic problems, and it would solve a lot of hardship problems. Things like universal child care. In Quebec, in Canada, they've had universal child care in that province for 25 years. Unemployment has gone way down. Employment has gone way up. Health outcomes way up. Actually, there are more babies, so people are having fun too. You know? So it's all good.
Empowering unions. Yeah. Talk a little about that. Our show is supported by unions, sponsored by unions. Yeah. I have a lot of union listeners. Talk about what do you mean by empowering
unions. Yeah, so I'm lucky enough to be endorsed by SEIU, National Nurses United, so I'm very proud of those endorsements. There's many of them. There's something like 12,000 of them in my district, so I'm proud to be walking side by side with them. We'll have some other announcements around unions, but I feel very strong. I'm from a union family, right? I'm from the Southwest side. I was born in Beverly, grew up in Palos, and I raised my kids in LaGrange. And being from a union family, your union family is just important too. I believe that we should be empowering unions in a few ways, is that we should be talking about unions and our rich labor movement in civics. It's an important part of a civics lesson. It's been, you know, Mother Jones and all this stuff has been completely expunged from our history lessons. That is so, so very important, that movement. And then secondly, what I would say is that making sure that kids in school understand what trades jobs are, mid-tech jobs, trades jobs, crafts jobs, all of those jobs. Career awareness should be much more about everything that you could possibly do to have a fulfilling career. And then making all of those trainings. A lot of the unions do great training work, right? They have workforce training all over the place. But if we can add it to places like community centers and community colleges, would be amazing. So let's support our unions. Have it so that people can access unions and join unions more readily. That would be great. So those are among some. And then finally, I just will add one thing. Really important, I think, that we do need to legislate this, unfortunately, is that every single board should have a member of labor on it, period. So everybody has a voice.
When you say every single board, what do you mean?
I'm sorry, every employer that has a board should have a member of labor on it.
Okay. All right. Now let's talk a little bit about the third congressional. Maybe you should have done this at the top of the hour, but that's okay. Exactly. Where is it? Just to help people out a little bit with the boundaries. I know you've done this on the show before, but do it again in case it's
We'll do a visual. Yes. Some people call this the creative dance when I'm at a meet and greet. So starting out by White Sox Park in Bridgeport and Canaryville, right? Mm-hmm. And then we wiggle our way down Archer and 55 all the way to the top of Joliet.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's all kinds of, so there's about 10 wards in there. And then in the suburbs, it goes from everywhere from where I live in LaGrange, Countryside, Orland, Palis, Oaklawn. There's about 30, 35 suburbs in there.
Okay. And so it's kind of strange, Marie. We talked about this previous appearances on the show. The 3rd Congressional has an incumbent congressman named Dan Lipinski. Mm-hmm. And as I said at the outset of the show, he's the son of William Lipinski, who was a very powerful ward boss in the 23rd Ward for years and years, mm-hmm. City of Chicago, an alderman, before he himself went to Congress. And then when he retired, handed over to young Daniel. Dan Lipinski is perhaps the most conservative Democrat in Congress right now. No question about it.
He's been ranked that way frequently.
You even got into choice. We talked about the things that the differences between you and young mm-hmm. Daniel. You didn't even get into choice, which is a huge issue. He's vehemently against any kind of abortion rights for women. Yeah. I think even in the case of rape, am I correct in that or am I going
too
far?
Yeah, so he just signed on to an amicus brief, which is the document that asks the Supreme Court to look at Roe v. Wade and overturn it. And he's very clear about that. And he's actually on tape saying frequently, I'm working aggressively to overturn Roe v. Wade. And, you know, when people reveal themselves to us, we have to listen to them. And so the women's rights groups that have been talking about his constant war on women, we should have been listening. I was, but many aren't. But what I might add here is that while that is a very draconian measure, interestingly, I've been on the knocking doors a lot, obviously, and fascinating. Even some pro-life women in the district will say, "Wow, all the way to that?" I'm pro-life, solidly pro-life. I don't want anyone to have an abortion, but to take that away completely sounds draconian.
Mm-hmm. He is the most conservative, particularly in this issue. And he also stood with Trump on other issues as well. Mm-hmm. And yet his district, that 3rd congressional that you just mapped out, mm-hmm. that started, you know, the way you did it from White Sox Park into the burbs, that voted for Bernie in the Democratic primary in 2018.
By 8%. Yeah.
By how much percentage?
8%.
Eight. Okay.
Bernie won by 8.
8%. So that tells me that is a what you would call progressive district. Mm-hmm. So that's an anomaly right there. You have a progressive district that's been written off as a conservative base with the most conservative Democrat as its congressperson. Why is that?
So fascinating. Last time that I got that question all the time, people would be very confused. Gosh, he's been in place for so long. It must be a conservative place. So interestingly, I never get that question anymore. We did the district, all of the grassroots and everybody has done such a good job of introducing the realness of the district, which is all of these hardworking families, workers, and middle-class families that everybody understands, wow, it's just a standard Democratic, deeply blue district, right? And they just need a real Democrat with a real plan. That's all they need. And so now I don't really get that question anymore because it's very clear to everybody from the media to the grassroots to people that live there. It's like, oh no, there's lots of just standard Democrats here that, you know, are very concerned with jobs, transportation, healthcare, equality, making sure that my kids have good education, all the standard stuff that every Democrat wants. Mm-hmm. And so this nonsense that it is a purple or a red district that goes back to the days of early Dan Lipinski. And here's what I'll say. I'll throw him a bone. I would say maybe 2004, that was probably true. But it certainly hasn't been true over the last 10 years.
Wait, what was true in 2004? I'm not sure I'm going to sign on to this bone throwing.
Yeah.
What was true, are you saying, in 2004?
Like, you know, 2004, maybe it was a little bit more conservative. It is not a conservative district.
I'm going to disagree with that point. I think that that district has always been poorly represented from its political views. And it's far more liberal. See, it's really hard to use these terms.
Right.
Because the terms mean liberal. I don't even know what liberal means anymore. Everybody's a progressive.
I don't know
either. So, but I...
I just say it's a real Democratic district. Yeah, I mean, honestly, because everybody identifies recently, or, you know, in a different way. And I think Dan's new branded nickname for me is the aggressive progressive. It rhymes. So
that you should wear that as a badge of pride.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, aggressive progressive.
But the problem with that is that people, when he says it that way, then they get afraid of that name because he's saying it in such a, you know, kind of visceral way. And so for me, I just stick with my values. Here are all my solutions. I put them on the website so I'm always accountable to them. And what they are very practical solutions that solve real problems. And there's nothing new on there, by the way. There's nothing, you know, there's some innovation to each of my solutions, but they're all tried and true and practical. So I just like to call myself a real Democrat.
Well, I can tell you this. There's all kinds of Democrats. They're all welcome on this show. We had a bunch of Joe Biden supporters. A lot of my listeners are hardcore Bernie fans.
Yeah.
We had a Joe Biden supporter on. We had an Elizabeth Warren supporter on yesterday. And we welcome them one and all on this show. But there, I'll just point this out. The third congressional went for Bernie. So that tells me that even in contrast, like say something like the 5th Congressional District, which is Mike Quigley's district, or the 7th Congressional District with Danny K. Davis's district.
Yeah.
I don't even know which, Jen Schakowsky's 9th Congressional. I think that may have gone. These all went through for Hillary Clinton, I want to say. Mm-hmm. So you guys are even more progressive than they are.
Yeah.
At least
it's a labor. It's a labor and union movement district. It truly is. About 43% of households have a union member. So the reality is that people are very focused on protecting that. There's a lot of highly skilled and highly talented folks in the district, and they want to make sure that they continue to have jobs. And that is really a huge focal point for them.
All right. And so the last time you ran, you came very close. I want to say within 2 percentage points. I can't remember the exact number. It was very close. It was a bitter race. What do you think's changed this time around? Gives you the advantage going into this election?
Yeah, I think so. I think I did cultivate a little bit of name ID, so I think that helped the campaign a bit. I also spent, even before I ran, I obviously was a community advocate. I was spokesperson for Moms Demand Action Illinois, and I ran an anti-bullying national program and worked on anti-bullying inside the Illinois district. I worked on a task force that developed a manual for anti-bullying in Illinois, so a bunch of different activities, but worked throughout the district as well. So this time, in between both campaigns, what I did strategically was make sure I had an even deeper understanding. So in between both campaigns, the one that I lost and now, I jumped on about 12 campaigns to make sure, and most of them were inside the blueprint of Illinois 3, so that I really got in touch with every single community leader, every single precinct. We developed a huge field program with the help of Indivisible. And so that's like the big deal, is that our field force is an army, and it's pretty cool.
All right, that's Marie Newman. We're going to take a break and be right back.
Read the Chicago Reader to get up to speed on what's what in Chicago. Culture, food, arts and entertainment, weekly concert listings, weekly event listings, the environment, travel. I can continue, but you get the point. And for all of you Chicago political junkies, raw weekly columns on real city politics from Maya Dukmasova and our very own Ben Jarofsky. The Chicago Reader, free to the public in newsstands throughout the city and online at chicagoreader.com. Read it now and be a more informed Chicagoan.
You're no longer mayor of Chicago. You're not holding public office right now, so you don't have to watch what you say. Not that you ever did that
I don't,
much.
I was going to say, yeah, that was not really, that. I don't think you have to worry about that.
But now you can prepare to be Rombo again, the Neutron Rom, just blow up the place.
Where's Waldo?
At Chicagoland Cremation Options, we are committed to listening, educating, and guiding your family through the cremation process. Whether it is time of death or when planning your wishes for the future, Chicagoland Cremation Options can accommodate you at an affordable price and with great dignity. Avoid funeral home costs with direct access to a crematory for a cremation. Chicagoland Cremation Options, just south of O'Hare, 5 minutes west of Chicago. It's a family-owned business and operated by my good friend, Douglas Klein. Visit it at ChicagolandCremationOptions.com. One more time, ChicagolandCremationOptions.com.
Welcome
welcome back to the Ben Jarofsky Show. Mr. Jarofsky, take us home.
We got Marie Newman in the studio. We're going to close it down. Lenny from Indivisible in the studio as well. I have some final thoughts from both of them. Before we do that, D, you got an update for me?
Absolutely. Here, a local update here. Governor J.B. Pritzker today announced a pair of ambitious criminal justice reform goals. Thursday, the end of cash bonds and mandatory minimum sentences.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Good for him. I'm telling you, J.B.'s on a roll, man. I didn't vote for him in the primary. I always got to acknowledge that, but...
Pritzker says it's part of, quote, prudently reducing the state's 40,000 inmate prison population. He acknowledges that it will likely take several years to implement, but says ending cash bonds is a priority. There's work to be done to try and find a solution for ending cash bail, but it will, in my opinion, during our administration, we will have made enormous strides, Pritzker said, and I believe we will end cash bail during this administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Bloomberg, if you're paying attention, look what Pritzker's doing in Illinois. Remember when Pritzker ran, D, all the people were calling in, man, I'm a billionaire. I'm not going to vote for a billionaire. So,
And we got to give a shout out to Brianna on the live stream chat. She's enjoying her interview with Marie Newman here. She says, can Marie run for president? She's one of the most down-to-earth candidates I've heard so far.
Here's that blue car, Brianna again. Blue Mustang for quote of the day.
Nice.
Brianna is a very astute observer of our show. Anything else, young man, before I turn it over to Marie Newman?
Follow us online at Benny J Show, BENNY, the letter J Show. Find us on YouTube. Watch the live stream chat if you're downloading. It's a fantastic time. And, join the live stream chat. Make fun of Ben. Weigh in with your comments. We may read them on the air if you watch your language. Good times.
Yeah, watch your language. All right, Marie Newman, closing thoughts.
So lots of them, but I think I'll narrow it down to volunteering. So as you can imagine, running against a machine candidate, the machine is on the ground doing all of the super fun things that they do. You know, everything from lies to dirty tricks to super scary stuff. I need volunteers. I'm just going to make a pitch for everybody. The Indivisible Movement has been amazing. If you ever want a good knocking mentor or phone calling or advocacy mentor, hook up with any of the Indivisibles. But we need you. I need you to go to marienewmanforcongress.com and make sure that you sign up to volunteer with us. We need door knockers, and we need them right now. You know, the machine's on the ground. Dan is bringing in DC folks to back him up. He has nothing but money. We have a really strong operation, but it means we've got to get really tough in the field. So I need really good door knockers that are patient. We are a lot of fun, by the way, I would say, in the office. So stop by and have a little fun with us. We do karaoke. But please volunteer.
Don't invite into that. That's the last thing you want. You want people to come to your event.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So sign up at marienewmanforcongress.com or scoot over to our Facebook page. Thanks so much.
So what's your favorite karaoke song?
You know, that is a really good question. It's probably an Earth, Wind & Fire song, because really there's no other group other than Earth, Wind & Fire. I just need to tell you that.
Oh, you just won over Ben Jarofsky right there. He's
really?
To the 3rd Congressional District right now.
No, I'm a huge Earth, Wind &
Fire. Oh, my God. I just have to ask everybody, when you listen to Earth, Wind & Fire, it is impossible not to be happy.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It's just a real thing.
Well, there's some sad songs. There's The Way of the World. Do you know that song? Lenny will now sing it.
Come on, girl.
Come on. That's the way of the world. Anyway, that's not really a happy song.
I know, but it's so good.
You guys don't invite him to that karaoke thing.
No, I love Earth, Wind & Fire. That's my favorite Earth, Wind & Fire song. Nice. Yes, it is. All right, very good. Marie Newman, thank you so much. And Lenny, any closing thoughts from you?
Yeah, if you don't know who Indivisible is, the founders just wrote a book. We Are Indivisible. Mm. Pick it up, learn how the movement started, and join a local Indivisible group. Our local group meets in the 9th District at 5539 North Broadway every Thursday at noon, and we are welcoming to everybody, so please come.
I'll show the book to the camera.
Yeah, thank you. And then we just want to plug one more time the Indivisible Chicago event that's going to be at the Athenaeum. And
It's on February 3rd at 5:30 p.m. Come on out and get together to figure out how we're going to do three states, one mission, right? Because we're going to get Wisconsin and Michigan on board.
Yes,
that's what
ma'am.
Illinois is going to
yes,
do.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
So Kelly came from Michigan. I just want her to, she's the group. Tell them about your congressperson and what you did with the,
he didn't come to town halls. Real quick.
Dave Trott. So we launched a chicken trot campaign on him. Had the town halls with the chicken, you know, up at the podium when he didn't come out. Guess who decided not to run again? Yeah. So we, you know, did the work and got that Dave Trott, one of the 10 richest congressmen, out of office. He was like too hot for me, and he's out.
He's not running for re-election.
He did not. In fact, Haley Stevens won in that district, 11th district in Michigan. Yeah. She ran a great campaign. She's doing an awesome job in Congress. Haley, I still see you out there. So there you go.
All right, it can be done. Thank you very much. I want to thank Marie Newman. I want to thank Miles Konflassen, and of course, the man, the myth, the legend, the pride and joy of Alton, Illinois. And as Marie Newman and Lenny can tell you, back home in Alton, they call him White Lightning. Give yourself a raise, take it out of petty cash. See you tomorrow, everybody.
Dennis, my name's Dennis. And remember, you can download previous Ben Jarofsky shows and Benny J bonus interviews at both Chicago Sun-Times and Chicago Reader websites and wherever else you download your favorite podcasts. Downloaders, we live stream this program. It's true. Tuesdays through Fridays, 1 until 3 p.m. Central Time at both Chicago Sun-Times and Chicago Reader websites and the Chicago Sun-Times YouTube channel. We encourage you join us sometime. Get a load of what Ben looks like. Get a load of what I look like. Heads up, I'm bald. We'll see you tomorrow.
That's correct.